was looking at the ceiling and shit, you know.
Okay. Cool. All right. Race Nuts Podcast, episode 21. Post Bathurst and post Phillip Island Grand Prix. So we got plenty to talk about today. Dan, where did you want to start? Hit us with it, baby.
Let's kick off with the wrap of the Bathurst 1000. So
big event, big 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, it's very sore.
All my clothes smell like campfire. No, like every single fucking piece of clothing I wore around that fire, it just fucking stinks.
I made the mistake of just throwing my bag in the lounge room and forgetting about it for about 3 days.
Oh, you feral.
So, fermented. Absolutely fermented all my clothes in there. Because I threw like one jacket back into that bag and it just now reeks. And the plastic boxes too. I don't know how the fuck smoke got into the plastic boxes. I opened it the other day, started unloading some stuff. Reeks.
You can't win them all, I suppose. So
and new rule for all camping trips too. Meat either gets eaten on the last night or thrown out on the morning we leave.
Did you get? Oh, you had that, didn't you?
Yeah. It wasn't like last time when you left meat on me and I had to
jelly.
Like, throw away an esky.
Yeah.
But it was still borderline feral.
I forgot about that.
My green esky's been outside for 4 days now with the lid just open, just soaking in the elements.
Soaking in the UVs. The sun's trying to kill it.
Yeah, and then in the meantime, I've had to hand wash every can just to be sure that they're all good.
That you feel safe drinking from them. Pressing your lips up against a cold tinny.
Well, the sausages sprung a leak, so there was like there's definitely meat juice with the ice.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Why wouldn't you? That's awesome. Yeah. All right.
Do you want to kick off in the qualifying?
I'll just kick off kind of easing into the weekend. First off, we got there on Wednesday. It was quite windy. So that seemed...
Too windy.
Yeah, too windy. We were setting up in the wind. That was fucking hell, but it is what it is. We had plenty of good neighbours and Bathurst campers helping us out. So just quick shout out to all our neighbours. They were actually really good in them. We hope we were good in return. And then, so we got set up on Wednesday. Did we do anything? We did something Wednesday night. Did we just go into track to town?
We went for the track to town.
Yeah. How did you find that, Dan? What were your thoughts?
I liked it. I liked it. I think there should be some stuff that should be organized a little bit better. Like having the pit lane challenge in town was much better than having it in the pit lane where no one can see it.
100%.
But maybe some better organising it so people can see it.
Almost like
big
a
thanks to Tim Edwards that kept
little grandstand kind of thing, maybe like a 3-row grandstand.
Yeah, maybe we'll see if there's somewhere where there's like a natural hill or something.
Oh yeah, yep, yep.
Because like even just where they put a big Pertec flag sort of in my way, which was shitting me until Tim Edwards kept standing in front of it and pushing it back for me.
Yep.
Not for me. That's just where he was standing, but it worked out well for me.
Yeah, you benefited greatly.
Yeah, but we didn't get to see a second of the esky race.
No, but
so even I'd do it even just big screen, just chuck a big screen there or something.
Yeah, I mean, there's that much money floating into the event and it's something that they want to do. Hopefully, with some feedback is good for them. You know, they take from it.
Yeah. No, apparently 12 hours has been doing it for years, but the 12 hour does it like in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So the turnout's a lot less because if you imagine if it's an afternoon, it takes up your whole day.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So that was cool. The track town in general was cool. We got pretty close to when they were leaving, heading back to Mount Panorama.
Oh, yeah, we did too. And we had a learner driver come up the opposite way of the road. And at like the perfect time as the Gen 3 cars were driving out, a learner driver came up the wrong way. I don't know how the supervising driver... fully licensed supervising driver didn't like pick out that there was all this crowd Bathurst weekend and didn't go, let's pull over for like 10 minutes and just not drive into the middle of this crowd. But they did. And in return, though, they got stopped by the police. They weren't, like, being silly or driving fast or anything. And
no, they just had to stop because there was a race car in front of them.
And we actually got to walk onto the road and a lot closer to the cars. We were all within half a meter
because
of them.
Because of that and because of some woman who just decided with her fat ass husband that, oh, the car's in my way. I'm going to go stand the road so I'm in everyone's way instead.
Yeah.
And at that point, we all went, well, fuck it. If Karen McGee and fucking the mountain is going to be in the middle of the road, we might as well be in the middle of the road
too. And which was good because we Lee could have touched the cars if we put our hands out, but no one did. I'm going to save this part. Thank you, Daniel. I'd like to point out, Dan was toying with the idea of fucking the Bathurst track to town for everyone forever, as he once just said to me, probably not as quiet as he should have, but he said, one step and we never get this again. We need to get run over by fucking David Reynolds or some shit because they think it'd be a funny character to get hit by.
Yeah, no, it'd be funny because David wouldn't be sympathetic at all. He wouldn't even be shocked. Yeah. He'd get out of the car to yell at me.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to see.
That's not the content, but the reaction you'd be after. If you're going to do it to someone, you got to do it to someone who's not just going to attend to your first aid needs.
Nah, he'll be more pissed about me smashing the intercooler.
Yeah.
My fat ass legs.
Yeah. Definitely.
But like he won't be concerned that I've broken both legs and shattered my spine.
Yeah, no.
It'd be more
that wouldn't be his problem.
I've ripped half the cooling system out of the front.
And he's got to use the car in
practice. Which is no problem. Yeah, which is no problem because he could do that 3 days later himself, but still.
Yeah.
So we went. So that was Wednesday. Thursday, we did the V8 Sleuth Night.
Yep.
With Tony Cochran.
And Crumpy and Scaife, which was fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah, no, they were good.
They were really good. Great bunch of three blokes who have been in the sport. Well, Tony Cochran retired about 12 years ago or something from the sport. But some blokes who shared, I would say, a healthy 20, 25-plus years together in the mix with each other kind of thing. About that, like 15 years or something. And they could talk shit to each other. Like there was no tomorrow, such as Neil Crumpton threatening to use Tony Cochran's shoes as the checkered flag.
His shoes that were painted like checkered flags.
Yeah, they were checkered, navy and black. And then Tony settled Neil down by saying how Neil just probably like shops that fucking Kmart or some shit.
that along with the when Cochran was threatened to take away the Bathurst 1000.
Yeah.
In the late 90s, he's considering taking it to Williamstown Air Force
Base. Oh, yeah.
And we got the 500 kilometers one way, 500 kilometers the other way on the airstrip.
And that's funny. That was really funny. The moment Crompo came on, before even Scaife came on, who probably came on.
Scaife and Cromp added nothing. They were there just to bully.
Yeah.
They saw a target and they had some grievances. Yeah. Some home troops got released.
Yeah, well, Tony was just vulnerable sitting in the chair. The man done nothing. He was just sitting there. And they
got invited back to Bathurst for the first time in 12 years and just got fucking ambushed. Yeah.
It's, I shit you not. So if you weren't there, if you were there, you'll know this. Aaron Noonan, in the first half of the show, he would have said no more than
200 words.
Oh, I'd say even 50 words.
Like 200 words.
I'd say 50 words. He said no more than 50 words. And the moment Crompo came on, he actually started talking to Tony like he was fucking running the show, like it's his daily thing. But it was really good to see them on a personal level, just make them actually feel in touch with everything.
Yeah, nah. It was good, and I was having a good time too, because that was the cheapest drinks we bought all weekend. So I was
double parking on the Jimmy's.
I think I might triple park. I was cooked.
It would have all just been a big haze, being a few drinks in for that.
It wasn't quite haze level, but it was confident enough for me to pick up a microphone and start asking some questions. Yeah,
and slur your way through it.
I he answered.
All right, so...
And I wasn't more slur, it was more... That's the first time I've ever held a mic, like a PA system microphone.
Yeah.
And I got more tripped out by the fact that the words come back to you probably half a second after you say
them. Yeah.
So it's like an immediate echo.
Yeah, you just got to kind of push so through.
You got to like almost like sort of ignore what you're hearing and just totally focus on what you're saying. Yeah.
Next time when you're up on stage, Dan, you can really take that advice to and pay, not pay homage to it, I guess, but take from the experience.
And be sloshed.
Yeah. So leading us into qualifying after the top 10 shootout.
And we're doing qualifying. Oh, hang on. Do you want to do qualifying before top 10 shootout or? Only because we've got a couple of notable crashes there.
Your notable crash. All right, hit it.
well, we're going to top 10 shootout in a second, but big notable crashes here is David Reynolds, as I mentioned before, decided to delete the front and rear of his tradie Mustang, a tradie Camaro. Don't need
a quicker whiff out.
Nah. So that was an all-night rebuild for Team 18, and the car is actually a write-off. The car was safe enough and raceable enough to race on Sunday.
Yeah.
But was down on time. Was down on time the whole race. Sorry,
You're gonna have a moment?
I'm gonna do that part again.
You should, because all I can hear is you swallowing.
Yeah, nah, gonna be, you know when you're like you're burping to get air stuck?
I don't actually.
Die. so yeah, that was a rebuild for Team 18 overnight on Friday, which, I'm going to do that again. So it was
fuck, you shit, Robert.
I'm going to do a lot more of this later when I go to record that video. So yeah, that was an overnight repair. Fuck you. So that was an overnight repair for Team 18. Yep. The car's a write-off. It's been actually been swapped out for a new chassis ahead of Gold Coast. But they did manage to repair it enough for it to be safe to race and just to get through the weekend. But the car had no pace. I think it might have been the last running car that didn't have a major issue throughout the weekend. So that led to a short red flag, followed by another crash of what's his name?
Scott Pye. No, was on Friday practice, sorry. Will Davison.
We should talk about that. Will Davison, sorry, I was got stuck on the Davison part. Yeah, so Will Davison did a near carbon copy and crashed the same part of the track. Again, big overnight repair as well. I think they managed to save that chassis, but they had to cut a whole corner and weld a whole corner of the chassis back into it.
Yeah, and I called it on the Friday that we'd get the time-lapse videos like 10 o'clock on the Saturday. On the following day. And that we did. We got time-lapse videos. It's like a content creator's dream of time-lapse in a full car rebuild. They just put their little GoPro up in the corner and like wrap their hands together and go, time-lapse.
Yeah, I don't know if this 17 is going to be replaced for this weekend. Definitely replaced for next year, but Dick Johnson normally builds two new cars every year anyway. So it's only going to do four races until it's done, if they continue with that chassis.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the... I'm just looking for any notable people that didn't make the top 10 shootout. When we're looking... Ryan Wood, quite notable, he didn't make it. Obviously, Will Davis didn't make it. Both Thomas Randall didn't make it. David Reynolds didn't make it. Mark Frosty didn't make the top 10 shootout on probably what will be his last qualifying session as a full-time driver. Yeah. My mouse just died. Awesome.
Get your shit sorted, mate.
Bro, piss off. You want to jump us into top 10 shootout?
So I don't actually have it up due to my...
I do now. My... So I'll go reverse top 10, reverse order from 10th to the 1st. So we have Adrian Highgarner, Chaz Mostert, Anton DePasquale, Matt Payne, Jack LeBrock, Will Brown, Richie Stanaway, Brock Feeney, Cameron Waters, and on pole, Brody Kostecki with 205.512. Kostecki seemed to put a lot of effort into heading his tyres up.
Oh, that was very notable, yeah.
Yeah, where a lot of drivers did the normal stuff and then went for it. Because Matt Payne sent Richie Stanaway sent a really good opening lap. Yeah. When he started his run. Yeah. And then a lot of drivers went doing a lot of tyre temperature stuff, except for Adrian Highgarner, who blew it off the road at turn one. This is actually his first top 10 shootout at Bathurst.
Yeah. The man bit him hard there.
Nah, it was all on him. It was all on him for
but he was,
running off a
he
turn
was
one.
All excited. And you know, he did a great tyre warm-up procedure too, like Kostecki. So he would have been hoofing, but... Yeah, he just got too excited, I guess, and just made a mess of it. But you know, you learn, you go on.
Yeah, but in the end, as the final runner being the pole position, no, sorry, it was not the final runner; he was the fourth final runner. Kostecki just set a time that was unbeatable, which is his times are 0.131. Quicker than Cameron Waters.
Yep.
So now we jump into the race where we're going to have next to nothing to talk about because nothing happened.
Yeah. As is religion, I actually think I snoozed a bit during this race.
You did several times.
Nodded off.
You were weakling.
Lucky I wasn't a victim to the can scam. which I hope Dan will put a photo up in post edit now.
If I can find it.
So yeah, just fuck all. That's it. One safety car, three quarters into maybe like the last 30 laps into the race.
135 or something was the safety car, and that was the safety car for Matt Payne, Garth Tanders, number 19.
In the wall.
The gearbox gave up at the cutting and put him into the wall.
Yeah.
And that was really it. Like, there's nothing really notable that happened.
People just plodded along. Kostecki won. Shout out to Chico as well for picking one hell of a race to back. They picked the right one. Well for them.
On top of that, so yeah, we got Brody Kostecki and Todd Hazelwood are now Bathurst winners.
Todd Hazelwood's first win in supercars as well with that Bathurst 1000 win.
Yep. Brock Feeney and Jamie Whincup second. Will Brown's got Pye third. Will Brown's got Pye take out the unofficial Endurance Cup, which means if it's next year. If this was this next year, that would be a big deal, and we'll get into that later. This is the fastest ever Bathurst 1000, too. The first time ever the 1000s clocked under 6 hours with a time of 5 hours, 58 minutes, and 3 seconds.
Shit. There you go. One more safety car lap, and that would have been fucked.
Yeah. Listen to Scott Pye, I've only listened halfway through his podcast. He was saying with the virtual safety cars, pretty much run as hard as you can. Because it was not worth the risk of waiting, of pitting, and then having a safety car come out.
Oh, yeah.
So he was making a good case of to fix this problem, to close the pit lane in safety cars.
Oh, yeah.
So that was his...
his point.
That was his point, basically. Just looking through the order of any notable... Well, Finn, Richie Stanaway and Dale Wood dropped in the 9th in the end. The AAA wildcard ended 14th. we were looking for. There we go. Cameron McLeod, a song we chatted to 2 months ago, and Tim Slade finished 19th. So up 6 spots for them. And that's really it. Like, it's like grand finals. You get good ones, you get bad ones. This one was, I wouldn't say as bad as last year, but still pretty shit.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, there'll be some.
You can't make it a false manufacturer because then you're just fucking with the system.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to all come naturally, and it will. And next year or the year after, I doubt it would be any longer than that.
I'm really excited for next year. I'm gonna get more into that soon enough. Yeah.
All right. So let's shall we head across the ocean to the
United States?
Yeah. So this weekend they were racing at COTA, Circuit of the Americas in Texas, the F1, and
for the United States Grand Prix. Yeah,
for the US Grand Prix. It was a sprint weekend. There's always plenty going on in the F1 world. So to kick it off, I'm not really too sure who was dominating any practice or anything, but we've got sprint qualifying order was Max Verstappen, George Russell, and Charles Leclerc taking out the top 3 spots, with Oscar Piastri chilling back out in 16th. I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong here. I feel like I'm going to, but is sprint points the top 8 positions?
It's the top 10 now, but it's 10 for first, 1 down to 1 for 10.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, yeah, there's points to be gained in it, plenty, especially in a close championship. You definitely want to be showing up. So, the sprint race itself, we got Max Verstappen as the winner. Carlos Sainz coming in second, who I believe he overtook Lando Norris on the first turn of the last lap.
Yeah, Lando bottled it. He threw it away, locked it up turn one, ran wide.
Yeah.
And then almost lost the position to Charles Leclerc behind.
Oh, yeah, both Ferraris were with each other. Yep. That lines up with the clip I saw. And we have Oscar Piastri making up 6 spots to grab a point, coming in 10th in the sprint race there. And then we go to, I don't know, there's not much to talk about that sprint race, really.
Pretty much, it was another do-nothing weekend. In qualifying for the Grand Prix, Lando Norris took pole. Max could have been on the lap to chase him down, but George Russell put into the wall with 30 seconds to go, so that was that. Oscar qualified 5th.
No, that's good effort. I do believe Lando Norris did make a statement at one point saying that getting pole at COTA that weekend was a waste of effort, I guess. I think there's a quote flown around of him being like, well, it's as good as it is, we aren't contending for the win here because the simply down to the track doesn't play to their strengths at all with the hard braking slow corners, whereas they're more of a fast corner, fast straight kind of thing operation at the moment.
Well, in the race, in the end, both Ferraris got the leg up on both the Ferrari, of both the Red Bull and the McLaren of Max Verstappen and Lando Norris, ending in a Ferrari 1-2.
Yeah.
Max Verstappen coming home 3rd, and Lando finishing from pole to 4th.
He did cop a penalty, Lando Norris.
Yep, for
track limits. Yeah, track limits. He exceeded 3 times track limits, I believe it is, and copped a 5-second penalty, whereas in, I believe it was Belgium, Oscar's first win, if I'm right there, or Hungary, sorry. Mm-hmm. It's one of those cases where maybe Lando had better pace on Max, fresher tyres. Maybe Lando should have just given the position back straight away. And then
yeah, it wasn't even that. He done the strike 4 times.
Yeah.
So I think what you're thinking of is Oscar copped a penalty in the sprint race for running off a track and not allowing space,
gaining
advantage.
Yeah.
But But no, Lando was straight.
Just exceeding.
Just running out strikes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, there's plenty to be learnt there. Lando couldn't get 5 seconds on Max. I think he got around 4.1-ish seconds on Max, but Max was just holding the gap. He saw no sense in going faster than he needed to.
Did you see the photos of the wacky trophies they were meant to have?
I have not at all, actually. I didn't even know
that. They had this wacky, like, giant Lego-looking trophies. And I initially thought it was to celebrate their new partnership with Lego. Yeah. At the last minute, Formula One pulled it because Lego and Disney threatened to sue over copyright infringement. So they just got, like, the Polar Ward lap.
The Pirelli tires.
Little Pirelli tire. That's what they got instead for trophies. Because, like, in the last minute, they had to pull the trophies.
Yeah.
Fuck. Anything before we leave the world of Formula One?
I would like to make a note of Franco Colapinto outdoing Alex Albon. I believe Alex was 16th and Franco 10th. And I believe that's also the second time that Franco's actually outgunned his more senior teammate. So I think that's there to watch. I'm not sure if there's a seat open for next year.
There's still a lot of word around that Sauber seat.
Yeah, okay.
It's looking pretty strong for Valtteri. Yeah. But Colapinto's having to sniff around it, and so is apparently Ricciardo.
Yeah, so there's...
One's in Jova, sounds like it's just completely given up. He knows he's gone.
Yeah. I mean, Chinese money is great because there's a lot of it, but if you can't perform, you can't perform. Maybe he's better off in a tin top or something, you know? He's just got to find his spot.
Oh, no, I think he's just had his fun. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know where he goes after that. I think it's just going to be one of these mediocre drivers that comes and goes.
Yeah.
I want to crack into the sim bin. So, do you have any sim bins for this week, Ash?
not one that I'm going to... Yeah, not one that I can really actually think of, really. Nothing that really irked me on throughout the weekend or, well, the past weekend or the week, any news or anything that I went, that's horse shit. Something should change there. So yeah. I'll let you run the sin bin today. I don't have anything for it.
I've got a couple of things here. My first one is the animals at Phillip Island.
Okay.
Jack Miller.
Oh, he hit a seagull? Is that
where you had? He hit a seagull during the sprint race, which ruined his sprint race. And then he also had to dodge to avoid a rabbit during qualifying.
There was a...
Which dropped him out of qualifying for Q2. Yep.
Okay.
So that's... that's a sim bin for the wildlife at Phillip Island.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of it, realistically. If you're going to drive around Phillip Island at all, do it with caution.
There's plenty of island. The birds can fuck off. Go away.
Island.
Why are birds at Phillip Island like men in their 60s that were like, when they turn 60, think, oh, I must be an Olympian and start riding push bikes through traffic? Just go be a bird. Somewhere else in the island.
Go be a bird on... As the invasive species of humans, are we allowed to call other animals invasive?
Call me.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, fuck you for ruining Jack's qualifying. To make note, I believe he started 15th in the Grand Prix as well. I'm not sure about the little feature race. Do they call it a feature race on...
They call the sprint race
and
Grand Prix.
Yeah, and also just while we're quickly talking about MotoGP, I forgot his first name, but Senna in MotoGP 2, an Australian, he came third. And actually, this is my sin bin. This is my sin bin. I found my sin bin. To whoever's in the producing room of... MotoGP, one, I love your graphics and your totems and all that. Keep that up. That shit's awesome and unreal. But whoever kept replaying Senna after the race had finished and he was getting a Australian flag tied around his neck like a cape, some marshals were doing. He was just in a runoff, and he had driven onto the grass, ate shit straight away. Then, like, you know, on the MotoGP coverage, they have on the right hand side, it comes up with crash. And, like, the person who crashed. So that came up. But they replayed this, like, fucking one moment, like, 20 times of him just eating shit. But, yeah, congratulations to Senna, but the producers did you mad dirty on that one.
Yeah, I found two Simbin moments with the broadcast too. Well, not the broadcast, but the Grand Prix in general. One, for them actually getting a full parade lap,
yeah,
on the back of a truck,
yeah,
including the truck stopping at Siberia and Lucky Heights for the drive for the riders to get out.
Oh, and greet everyone, and
to greet everyone, and they had like t-shirt cans and shit when we got to watch them turn off at turn four.
Oh yeah, oh, so they've actually changed that.
Oh, yeah, they did a full lap this time,
because I remember both marshals standing out there, and I felt bad enough for us. I felt fucking terrible for the marshals.
Yeah. Second thing is, I know Chad Nalon's only doing what the broadcast asks of him. But dude, walked up to Jack Miller on the truck. I'm doing the interviews on the truck. Goes, now, mate, you know I was going to wait till we're at this corner. This is the corner that's now named after you. You had this big crash here 2 years ago.
Yeah.
When they named after you. It took the time to speak to Jack Miller. At Miller Corner, where he fell off from like fifth 2 years ago.
I actually remember us watching that. Yeah, Chad, sometimes you got to go rogue, mate, and tell the people in your earpiece to fuck off and like give some love to the only Aussie on the grid.
Next on my sim bin, the gazebo that broke, the grub that took the time out of their busy nights to break our gazebo.
Yep.
Fuck you.
Yep.
Next year, there's a pre-warning. Next year, I'm bringing a deep cycle battery, a shovel, and alligator clips. If you touch my gazebo, you will be lit up. I won't dwell on that too much because I've already yelled about it enough. Yep. And then finally, the Erebus mechanic who, or now former Erebus mechanic, who made a dickhead out of everyone by being a cockhead. So
yeah, like all the best with his mental health or whatever's going on there, but made a right fucking mess of the Bathurst celebrations.
Yeah, and I feel bad. So quick recap of what happened. Erebus came out Monday morning saying one of their mechanics got attacked. Yep. Police investigated.
Which is believable in the context of how Erebus have been.
Yeah. Barry blew up. Even Barry apparently went to the point of messaging a few journalists claiming that this is because of them and their anti-Erebus sentiment. Yeah. And put up a bit of money to go towards anyone that had information that led to an arrest.
Yeah.
Just for Seven News to get the footage revealing said mechanic punching himself in the face. With no one else around besides a woman that I'm presuming that he's missus. Yeah. So now, said mechanic who was only hired prior to the Sandown weekend has been sacked by Erebus. No further comments been made by the team.
Yeah.
And he's been charged by New South Wales Police on one count of false accusation and one count of assault on the woman, which was, he must have...
Must have whacked her or something.
Hit her a couple of times. Yeah, to go with the story. So, yeah, screw you, mate. Everyone jumped to Erebus' defense, including I feel like this is one of the rare times where Erebus did the right thing.
Yeah,
and jumped like anyone would, any boss would jump to the defense of their employee just to be made an idiot.
Yeah, that was really silly, and I hope old mate reflects harshly on that, on himself, and for that, and you know, comes a better person because of it, but. It's just not on to start with. Having said that, regardless, violence isn't on in our sport unless it's between two drivers hashing it out on the track because they fucking ran into each other or some shit and they're all fierce and shit.
No, there's no spot for abuse or anything in our sport.
It's just
kind of shit. We all came together over something to say, not happening here, just to be all made giant idiots. Yeah,
made a fool of us.
Of each other.
So that's the, you happy with that sin bin?
Yeah, I'm happy with that. I'm just pulling up the next thing. It's because website wants to work with me.
So,
and not against me.
Are we heading towards the Erebus pub fight, or is that?
No, we'll skim that off. I sort of, we should really put that in before the sin bin.
Okay.
We sort of just did two for ones are there.
Okay.
Let me just track this down real quick. Yep. I just want to have the calendar in front of me before we start talking about it.
I'll occupy with my ASMR of glue tech.
No. Right, I got it. So, first bit of news, we finally have a calendar for 25 yep. Supercars. And the article I pressed does not contain a calendar. Cheers. Cheers, Supercars. And the link he gave me just sent me to the bloody Ashton. Play with the blue tack.
Glue tack ASMR.
If need be, pull out the keys. Shut up. If this is another article, that does not. Okay, right.
All right. Glue tack ASMR over. Thank you for joining me today.
Right, so I'm just going to run through the. We've got a bit going on here because we've got a new format and all this stuff to get into as well. But I'm just going to run through next year's calendar real quick.
Hit me with
it. We're kicking off with Sydney Motorsport Park. Now, I did see this mentioned on all the graphics as opening round. Yep. Now, who the fuck is starting this like, opening round shit?
It's not like the Olympics, the opening ceremony. I reckon that's what they haven't got the idea from.
They haven't gone full AFL, where you know how AFL is like opening round and then round two was also called round one. So like opening round, then round one.
That melted my brain just in that.
Hey, it almost ruined my footy tipping. So they haven't gone full down the alleyway. It's now just called opening round, then round two. But anyway, so opening round one, I'm not doing that. Round one in Sydney at Sydney Motorsport Park. It's going to be a night race in February 21 to 23.
Yep.
Then round two in Tassie. That doesn't look right. What's going on here?
No, I feel like that's right because I'm pretty sure they're staying a lot more.
I'm reading the Super 2.
All right, so.
Damn it.
I will continue.
Back to ASMR.
ASMR is back.
My mistake.
Dan, shut up. Right, it's ASMR good. Time.
Right, okay. Right, so we covered Sydney then. Round two at the Australian Grand Prix. If you want to go, sell your house. We pretty much had to sell any hope of buying a house to buy Grand Prix tickets. Yep. So that's the Australian Grand Prix, March 13 to 16. And then round three in New Zealand at Taupo, April 11th to 13th. Round four in Tasmania, May 9th to the 11th. Yeah. Tragedy. What did I say? That was round four. Round five, Perth. June 6th to 8th. There's going to be the last round at Wanneroo before the new street track next year. Not next year, the year after next. Then we have Darwin. June 20th to 22nd. Townsville. July 11th to 13th. Ipswich at Queensland Raceway, August 8th to 10th. The Bend for their first Enduro, 12th to 14th of September. Bathurst Traditional, 9th to 12th of October. Gold Coast, 24th to 26th of October. Sandown, not an Enduro, 14th to the 16th. And then Adelaide, capping it all off on the 27th to the 30th of November. So that's 13 rounds. We've two said rounds within the same month of each other, so we're going to a little bit more closer calendar next year.
Lovely. That's beautiful. So rolling into Bathurst on the Wednesday, so media day for everyone and everything, all the teams, Supercars. This is before the track to town as well. We were going to go have a crack at a lap of the circuit, just try our luck for shits and gigs. There was no chance. There probably never was. But we had actually seen a bunch of people gathered for, well, we didn't know until we walked up on ourselves, parked up, went over. And they were announcing the new Supercars Championship format going into next year. So my very minimum knowledge of it, which Dan will expand on in a moment is there's a Sprint Cup winner off the first however many rounds, an Enduro winner, and then it goes into, and those two winners are off into the championship fight, essentially, off the top four or some shit. But yeah, I'll let Dan take it from here, as he read a horseshit amount on this and like his brain just did that to it, wrapped around it.
Yeah. So as you said, the championship is going to be split into three parts of the season. So the Sprint Cup, the Enduro Cup, and the finals. The Sprint Cup will be consist of rounds 1 through to 8, with every round but the Australian Grand Prix having 3 races. So we're going to see technically 3 formats, but really 2 to worry about. So we're going to see let me just pull up my notes here so I get the correct one. Where am I looking here? Yep, so first, we'll either have the 500 configuration format, which will consist of 100-kilometer sprint race on Friday night or Friday afternoon, followed by 200-kilometer refueling races on Saturday and Sunday, or the Super 440 format, which consists of 2 120-kilometer races, sprint races on Saturday, and 1 200-kilometer refueling race on Sunday. So that's all except for the Australian Grand Prix, which will consist of 4 non-stopping sprint races at Albert Park. So the points are the same for every race throughout the season, besides the 2 endurance races. There will be a 5 bonus points for anyone that scores the fastest lap within the top 15.
Yep.
And at the end of that, at the end of round 8, whoever's leading the championship will be dubbed the Sprint Cup winner. They'll be guaranteed a spot in the finals later in the year and given 25 extra points during that point, which I'll get to in a minute. Then we move into the Enduros. The Enduros work the exact same as the old Pertec Enduro Cup, except this time it'll be over the bend, and of course the Bathurst 1000. At the end of the Enduros, again, the winner of that will be crowned the Enduro Cup, guaranteed a spot in the finals and 25 bonus points for the finals. This is where it gets spicy. So now we consist into the finals. Now, the finals are going to have 3 rounds, Gold Coast, Sandown, and Adelaide. Gold Coast and Sandown are going to have 2 250-kilometre races. Ahead of that round, the top 10, including at the top 10 of the current standings, will have their points reset. Now, this is where it gets a little bit confusing about the Sprint Cup winners. If the Sprint Cup winners are outside the top 10, then they'll become the 10th. Or if there's 2 of them outside the top 10, they'll become the 10th or the 11th. If they're both within the top 10, they're just part of the top 10 anyway. So that guarantee thing only really works if you've fallen out of the top 10. So at that point, sorry, lost myself a little bit here. Making this video is going to suck for me. I don't think we're doing it tonight. So just let me re-get my notes here because I don't want to mess up the points here. Here we go. So coming into Gold Coast, the points for the top 10 drivers in our finals or the finalists will be reset to 3,000 points. This is done because 11th can't get anywhere near 3,000, so this will pull the whole field clear of the regular drivers that haven't made the final series. So they're all reset to 3,000 points. Then whoever's leading the championship is given an extra 150. Second's giving an extra 120. And then all the way down the order, an extra 96, 78, 66, 57, 48, 39, 30. And then finally down the 10th, that gets an extra 21 points. Then we add for the cup winners, the extra 25. Now, if I presume if the cup winners is the same driver for both cups, like what we saw this year, if we played in part this year, Will Brown would be both the sprint and enduro cup winner. I presume he would get an extra 50 points. So now we go to Gold Coast. And the bottom three of those top 10 drivers, ones that leave Gold Coast with the bottom three amount of points, are eliminated. Unless they win one of the two races. In which case, the next driver above them is eliminated and they are guaranteed a spot in Adelaide. Not in Sandown, in Adelaide in 2 rounds time for the final. So now we move to Sandown. We're now down to seven drivers. The top seven and or if they won one of the two Gold Coast races. Again, the points are reset. This time, they're reset to 4,000. Again, so we'll reset the 4,000. Again, the leader gets 150, all the way down to 7th, they get 48 points. This time, no bonus points for the cup winners. It's even for everyone. It's even across the point, of, depending where you are in the championship standings. I think I'm going
to fucking stroke out. Yeah. This shit is so much.
Now,
it's like a lot to digest.
I'm enjoying it. I read the end of this. I was like, I'm on board. Yeah,
I like the idea.
It's complicated and it's annoying.
I like the idea, but holy fuck, I need a visual.
Yeah, well, it's stand by for next week, mate. You might have a visual then. So, like I said, everyone's reset the 4,000 points because that pulls them clear of the drivers that dropped out. And the championship leaders get an extra 150, all the way down the 7th, that's given 48. So there's still a little bit, it's not everyone's put straight on a straight edge. There's still a little bit of, if you lead the championship, you still get a little bit of an advantage for all your good work. And Sandown, pretty much same setup. The bottom three drop out, unless you win one of the two races. So we could see a scenario next year where if you win... if we get four different drivers that win each one of those races in the top 10, it's got to be the top 10 drivers. So if you're one of the regular drivers that wins a race, it's good on you, but it means nothing for the championship, at least if you're fighting for it. You got to be in the top 10 and win the race to be guaranteed a spot. Or at the end of Sandown, be in the top four. So only four drivers proceed to Adelaide in championship connection. So we got a top four, wherever they be, let's say three drivers won three of those races, and then plus fourth or whoever's next behind them. So we're rolling to Adelaide. Adelaide has a different format. We go back to the 440 format where we get.
You did say different format. Great. That's awesome. Love change. Yeah. More change.
Now, well, it's back to the format we saw earlier in the year, the 440, which is the 100 kilometer on Friday, and the 200 kilometer races on Saturday and Sunday with refueling. Now into this round again, the points are reset to 5,000. The leader, championship leader, let's say Will Brown for example, gets 50. Brock Feeney, for example, in second will get 30. Chaz Mostert in third will get 15 extra points. Fourth gets nothing. Fourth is just flat on 5,000, which means the gap coming into Adelaide, the gap between fourth and first is only 50 points, which in supercar nothing. Land is fuck all. I think 30th gets 20 points if there were 30 cars running. So now, that's it. There's no more bullshit after this. They roll into Adelaide with those points. Whoever rolls out of race 35 with the most points will be champion. And it is mathematically impossible. The only way mathematically possible for the championship to be sealed up on Saturday afternoon, instead of Sunday, is if the leading driver wins both races and the other three DNF.
Oh, okay.
Which means it is basically a certainty that the championship fight will go to Sunday every time at Adelaide.
That
So
that fucks.
That is a lot.
Fucks. Yeah. It's hard to comprehend, and... but to sum it up, the last two races of the whole season is the deciding races, really. Last three races is where the money's at, and
yeah,
you just got to be the best on the day.
Yeah, and I've thought about it. I've tried to pull it apart like Larko tried to. You can't really luck into it. Like, the only way I can think of, like, the most probably unworthy winner would be someone...
who just fluked their whole way
from the...
in.
No, you couldn't even do that. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're all hard. You got to be in the top 10 or win a cup. And beyond that point, you got to be either in the top 7 or the top 4 and most likely win a race. I suspect that most of the top 4 will be made up by people who won a race. So, that, like, the most unfair thing scenario I can think of is if whoever was in 10th coming into Gold Coast won a race and then guaranteed their spot into the top 4 and then won it from there. But even then, that's still solid effort to win a race to start with. And then, let's say it was 10th, and so they rolled into Adelaide last because they still didn't have a good one at the other four races. They've still got to beat the championship leader that's got a 50-point advantage on
them
over two rounds. Oh, I feel better now. Now I got to do it all again in front of the camera for that video.
And it's going to make sense.
It's going to make sense because I won't be screaming it because I won't feel like shit.
All right, so there's that. Feel free to replay that part as many times as you need to understand the lingo.
Yeah, like I said, I'll put a video out in the next couple of days. Not slower and lot explaining it a lot better.
Is what I heard. Shut up. So we're going to move off that mind fuck to Race of the Champions coming to Australia. Now, call me silly, call me dumb, but I don't know what the fuck the Race of the Champions is, so I'm going to Google it.
Basically, it's just they bring all these championship drivers in from, like, they make up pairings of two in nationalities.
Yeah.
So you used to see Sebastian Vettel and Michael Schumacher pair up a lot, and now it's Sebastian Vettel and Mick. Stuff like this. It's never been, like, a huge thing. I think this is one of the first times it's come back since COVID, so it's normally, like, a bit of rally track. They normally do it in a stadium, a bit of rally cross, a bit of karting. Just all a bit of fun. I love that all the Australian networks are deliberately leaving out Mick's name. It's like, oh, four-time world champion Sebastian Vettel and Mick and Schumacher coming to Australia, and everyone's going, oh, Michael Schumacher's back. Like, no, it's his son. Fuck you, Channel 7. Put his full name in.
Actually, looking at it, Sebastian Vettel's done well. So he's participated in 11 of the Rocket events. One-time winner of the Race of Champions, and then seven-time winner of the Rock Nations Cup, which I'm not too sure what the difference is there.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Jamie Wincup's also had two participations in the Rock. Zero wins for him. I'm not sure if he hasn't podiumed, I don't believe.
Who do you reckon we're putting in this year? Like, Ricardo's a shoo-in. If you do it,
well, he's done it before, so it wouldn't be unheard of.
Well, done. It's not like he's busy. Yeah, he's
got a lot of free time. Yeah.
He's free. He's got time. So who are we putting him with? It had to be someone from Supercars.
I would pitch in SVG if I could, but he is a busy man.
Can't. He's Kiwi.
Okay, so we're going for an Aussie.
It's got to be Aussie. It's got to be teams of the same nationality. I feel like Oscar would be too busy because this is the weekend before the Australian Grand Prix.
Yeah, but that means they're already in town.
Yeah, but Australia's already the busiest race for the Australians. Ricardo always said he hated Australia. Not hated, but he hated, like, he'd go anywhere else in the world, it'd be a few interviews and he was done. Where in Australia, everyone wants to
talk. Yeah, well, suck it up, buttercup. You're fucking Aussie. If I put a forward in an Australian team, oh, you really... I would put in Toby Price, and I would put in someone else who can seem to drive everything. I would maybe go Kostecki or something. Or Cam.
I was about to say, I would throw a Bush. Yeah, Cam would be into it too, yeah. So I feel like you really throw a dartboard at the supercar field. I think that would all be down for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're pretty free as well, 13 race weekends in a year, so.
Yeah.
Well, or that Chaz. And maybe Chaz and Toby Prost. They'd be good personalities together, if nothing else.
Yeah. Again, though, weekend before Adelaide, before the Grand Prix.
Ah, that'll be right.
And you're number two. Their weekend starts earlier. They got to do... I was going to do an interview. Because Formula One, they start their ass. They can't... So, every other race weekend, it would just be like a set time on Wednesday morning or Tuesday, depending on the... Or Thursday, depending on the event, where all categories go do the track walk. Everyone, you know, supercars, Porsche, Super 2, whatever. Everyone just goes in their little groups and do the track walks. Not Formula One, though. Formula One has, like, an exclusive time for their F1 drivers. And then I think the same again for F2 and F3. They do it together, but still, it's not like they're out of the Porsche guys. So a lot of the media stuff and the track stuff for supercars has to be done on the Tuesday.
Because
Wednesday is just blocked out for the Grand Prix people. And then they're rolling their practice on Thursday.
I mean, I kind of get it, but it's also like,
it's a support thing. It is what it
is. I don't know, say Porsche, let the kids driving the Porsches or whatever, 16, 17-year-olds, let them track walk with these big, famous personalities. Let them feel inspired or be close to their presence. Let them feel touchable.
Yeah. You can also imagine a lot of teams, too, would be like, do I want to put, like, Dick Johnson's just paid some good coin, I can imagine, for Kostecki, second round in. Ooh, do I really want to put my prime championship-winning driver who's just won Bathurst and is still getting used to the car, do I want to load him up with pressure by sending him to race champions or letting him do race champions? And then also have the added risk that if he flips the car or does his shoulder or something stupid, I now don't have a driver.
Yeah, on the biggest publicity weekend they have besides Bathurst.
Yeah. Bathurst, yeah.
No, that is a good point. So that's exciting. That's coming. That's in Sydney.
I was kind of guys. I messaged like, "Hey, let's make it happen." And I saw it was the weekend before Grand Prix. I was like, "Fuck you! Why
dreaming?"
I get why, because they know half the people's gonna be here for the Grand Prix anyway. This is the same reason why this Adelaide Motorsports Festival does the same thing.
All right, so moving on to the 888 garage. Some news coming out of there, Dan. Did you want to explain further on that?
Yeah, they're just they're returning the Super 2, which they took a couple of years out after Brock Fenny won the title in 21, because I was there at Bathurst 21. So this is the first time, I think, coming back. No, sorry, I tell a lie, because I had Declan Fraser in 22. So they've nicked, I'm just pulling up the article to get the names of the drivers, they've nicked Jackson Walls and Ben, tough name, Gomer Sale, G-O-M-E-R, S-A-L-L, Gomer-Sale, Ben Gomer-Sale. That sounds about right. I believe these are both graduates. Wall's currently sitting third in the Porsche Carrera Cup standings.
Yeah.
And he had a couple of wins at Taupo and Sandown, while Gomer-Sale.
Gomer-Sale? I reckon it is.
I don't know. I'm going to find out. I'm going to meet him one day and find out something completely different. Yeah, he's competes in the current Toyota 86 series. So that's good. Apparently they're buying a couple of old Gary Rogers cars because they don't have any Super 2. That was the big downfall of their Super 2 program, was their cars for their Gen 2 cars have already been sold.
To private collectors and whatnot.
To private collectors and stuff. So, like, Brock Feeney's is in Adelaide. He did a trial. He did a trial run it a few weeks ago at the new One Nation circuit. Yeah. And then SVGs is in a private collector somewhere. And you gotta remember, that's the most winning chassis ever. That chassis won three, what am I thinking, 21, 22. So yeah, it won two titles and three Bathursts? Two Bathursts, sorry. So two titles and two Bathursts. Plus all the other races around that. So that's literally the most winning chassis in Supercars history. So that's never going to touch a racetrack again in anger. And actually, I just brought that. That's my model turned up yesterday. My 2022 Bathurst winner.
Look at you go, mate. Getting your models.
Look at me go pissing away my money. That was a... Oh, you know how Combank fucked up a few days ago? And some people got double charged? So I'm just going to say it right now. I spent $500 on model cars.
Weak effort.
Weak effort. Hey, most of my pre-orders, there's a lot more money to come out of that. But out of all the things for Combank to suddenly double charge me on, it had to choose that. I woke up to a notification on my phone. You are negative $480. I was like, what the fuck have I brought?
$400. How big was last night?
Oh, yeah. It was Saturday morning, too. So I was like, coming home from the pub. So, oh, man. Yeah, that was rough for a few hours until I figured out what the fuck was going on.
Oh, gosh. All right. So moving off that front, we're going to move into the driver move, silly season kind of operation. So we'll start off with Richie Stanaway. He departed from, well, he's departing from Grove Racing at the end of this year. They've just kind of said, you're next, sitting next to Matt Payne. It's not it.
It just didn't work out.
So he's gone across to, I believe he's taking Tim Slade's seat at, who retired. Yep. He's not taking the seat necessarily. Tim Slade retired.
Yeah, but it definitely gets that feeling of retire or be pushed, which one do you want.
So Stanaway's gone across to there to hopefully find his a car that he can really work with and get top tens consistently throughout the whole season.
Yep, in the 23. In driver rumours, we've got Jackson Evans is apparently close to sealing the deal with Brad Jones Racing for another year, which means Macaulay Jones will be the only driver not accounted for yet, but that's obviously a bit of a... Macaulay's been there for a while and he hasn't had a worse year than what he normally does, so I can imagine him to stay on, which means that should be... With Stanaway's move, that should be the entire grid. For next year, so we lose a few drivers. Primarily, the one off the top of my head is Frosty's gone, and Slade's gone. But we gained some drivers. Kai Allen's in, Cooper Murray's in, and we will have a new Supercars champion next year. By the looks of it, Will Brown's kind of sealed the deal. He can mathematically do it on Sunday. For the Gold Coast 500. And even if he doesn't, everyone but Chaz and Brock are now out of the title. So what happens now, we're going to have a new Supercars champion come Adelaide.
And just going back into the Grove garage, we've got Garth Tander still feeling fit and young, it would seem, and signing a multi-year co-driving deal with Grove Racing. So I'd say that's just... He's going to be taken in 2-year blocks. He'll do a Porsche race here and there just to keep his eye in, as he has been. Yeah. And yeah, he's still going strong.
Awesome. So we'll quickly run down the championship standings here. Will Brown, as I just said, continues the lead from Bock Frenny and Chaz Mostert. Chaz has dropped from second down to third post Bathurst. After Kai Allen's shocker at Bathurst and Super 2. He has dropped from the series lead down to third. Now Zach Bates leads from Aaron Cameron. In Formula 1, the gap pretty much stays the same. Verstappen still leads Norris. Verstappen still leads Norris. Charles Leclerc in third. Australian Oscar Piastri now fourth. Only about, I'm not doing the maths, but not far from Leclerc. In the Team Championship, McLaren leave Austin leading. only by 40 points over Red Bull. And Red Bull only leading from Ferrari by quick math time on 8 points.
Beautiful.
So it's very possible Ferrari, Red Bull could drop to third in the championship.
It is, yeah.
Looking ahead, also we've got the Gold Coast 500 this weekend.
Also got our mate Adam in the 4SS car, Oakley Club Day. I believe he's looking at doing that. I'm trying to talk him into giving me a test stand his car as well, because we've got the 2-hour enduro coming up. So I probably need to drive his car to not eat shit.
In here. Oh, you're doing the enduro in his
car.
So
that's some exciting news.
Doesn't that mean you need to get a race suit?
I need to get a race suit. That's it. And I'll just run a temp license for the test days and the race day and shit. And I'll be the biggest co-driver happening. I'll be the co-iest of co's, fucking probably a second off Adam's pace. Hopefully not a second, but maybe a few temps.
I need to get time to come down to the track with Adam. I'm always so busy.
Busy man. But there's not much more than that to look out for.
We've got Mexico City too for Formula
beautiful.
One. And I'm sure IndyCar's racing somewhere, but no one, not IndyCar, I'm sure Formula E's racing somewhere, but
probably
no one cares.
Probably in the city for a warehouse or some shit.
Yeah, for some reason it'll be like the dumbest
half
streets
in
ever.
Half in the warehouse, half out of warehouse, just by the dock passing the fishermen who are coming in with all their crawfish or some shit.
Yeah, mate. Well, before we wrap this up, any final thoughts on anything we've spoken about?
Not really. Just plenty going on, I guess. A lot of change to come next year. Would be.
Yeah, and I'm excited for it. I'm on board now.
Just I think there's a lot of good things happening in the world of racing at the moment and not too many negative things. So people are doing well within the sport. You know, they're trying shit. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. That's all I've got. So we'll roll it out on that note. Thanks for listening.
Right, I feel like shit. I'll talk to you later.
Good one.
See ya.